It's a very special schus to have been invited by Benny once again to come to speak to all of you, to speak on the same program as Dr. Pelkowitz and everybody's best friend, Feige Zakheim, who was absolutely terrific tonight. And I hope that we'll be able to be inspired together. My role here tonight is not so much from the psychological aspect of what's going on Yontif, but rather from the inspirational, to try to see how we can make this Elul, the Rosh Hashanah, the Aser Simei Tshuva, until Hashanah Rabbah, meaningful and very special for ourselves and for our children. There's a very famous Chazal that most of you certainly know. And that Chazal teaches us in Avodah Zarah Yud Amud Beis, Yesh Koine Olamoi B'Sho'achas. A person can conquer his world, his Olam Haba, in one moment. A person could do something so outstanding, so incredible, that he's guaranteed Olam Haba. For example, you have a baby that's choking on something, and the mother is frantic. She can't get it dislodged. And she calls Hatzalah, and the Hatzalah member comes, and within 30 seconds, he knows exactly what to do, how to get this thing out. He saves the baby's life. This little boy gets older, becomes a bar mitzvah boy, a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather. He has descendants, and it's all because this Hatzalah fellow came, and within a moment, he was able to save this little boy's life. Yesh koine olamoi b'sho'achas. Sometimes a person wants to go into business, and you know that the person that he wants to go into business with is a crook, a robber, a terrible person. And you don't hold back. You call him up and say, listen, I know you're thinking of that person going into business. He's a terrible person. He will ruin your life. He will ruin your savings. It'll just be awful. And the fellow listens, and he goes into another business, and he flourishes, and he blossoms, and he has a beautiful parnosa. So because you took the time and the effort to give him that very important advice, you are koina your olam haba, yesh koina olamoi b'sho'achas. But you know, Rav Tzadok has a very interesting klal. Rav Tzadok teaches us a rule that there are many words in the Torah that have different meanings. So what's the real meaning of a word? How do you know what the real meaning is? For example, let's say the word shomar. Shomar means to watch, to protect something. If somebody asks you to watch their jewelry or to watch their car or to watch their house, they're going away. You could be a shem esocha, shem echinam. We know that, of course, the expression shem es Shabbos, somebody who watches and observes Shabbos. But shomer or shomar has a totally different meaning as well. And, for example, we all know that when Yosef had the dream that all the brothers were going to bow down to him, the Pasuk tells us, Vayikanu by Echov, the brothers were jealous. They were not happy about that dream, that they would all bow down to Yosef. Va'oviv shomar es hadovar. His father, Yaakov Avinu, he couldn't wait for that to happen. Shomar means he was so excited with anticipation. So what's the real meaning of shomar? Does it mean excited with anticipation? Or does it mean to watch and protect something? So Rav Tzadok says, wherever the word appears the first time, that's the real meaning. Now you're going to hear something amazing. I want to ask a question that I don't expect anybody to know unless you're a Balkaira. If a woman knows this answer, I'll give her a free Maggid book, hardcover, because I'm not cheap. But if a man knows it, I'll be amazed unless you're a Balkaira. Where is the first place in the Torah that it says the word Sho'ah? Anybody know? Sho'ah. Who said that? No, Sho'achas means 1 minute, but where? I'll give you a hint. It's in Parshas Bereishis, believe it or not. Kayin, very good, right. By Kayin, Hevel and Kayin gave gifts to Hashem. And the Pasuk tells us that Vayisha Hashem el Hevel, Hashem turned to Hevel and his gift, Ve'el Kayin ve'el minchosoi loy Sho'ah. Hashem didn't turn to the gift of Kayin. He didn't accept it. If that's the case, oh, now we have a new pshat in the Gemara. Yesh koine olamoi, a person can conquer his world b'sho'achas, with one turn, one redirection, one refocus, one rechannel of what is important in our lives with our priorities, you can conquer the whole world. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Tonight, we are going to re-channel. We're going to make that turn, and we're going to begin to understand what's really important in life and what are the priorities for ourselves, the priorities for our children. Now, there was one person who turned around his life in one moment. And you know who that was? That was Rabbi Akiva. And listen to the Ovis Rav Nosson. Tells us an amazing thing. It says, what was the beginning of Rabbi Akiva? He was walking by a brook and he saw a rock that had a hole in it. Now, how in the world could a rock have a hole in it? We all know the expression, hard as a rock. And he noticed that there was water that was dripping on the rock. Slowly, but surely, relentlessly, steady, nonstop. And then he realized, hey, wait a second. If water that's so soft could pierce a rock that's so hard, then the Torah that's strong could pierce my heart that's very, very soft. And it changed his life. And to me, you know what the genius of the whole idea of Rabbi Akiva was? Let's say he would try to figure out, how many gallons of water did it take to make a hole in that rock? 20,000 gallons of water. What if you would have taken 20,000 gallons at one time and poured it on the rock? Would it make a difference? Nothing at all. It was because he understood change happens slowly, steadily, relentless. You don't stop. And that's how you change. Nobody's going to change tonight in such a way, a big change. But we're going to change tonight slowly, but surely, relentlessly. Now, those of you who have a pencil and paper, take it out and write down this word because you're about to faint when you realize what I'm about to tell you. Write down the word Akiva. Ayin, Kuf, Yud, Beis, Aleph. Akiva. You know what that stands for? Take a look at the letters. Yesh, Koine, Oilomoy, B'sha Achas. Isn't that amazing? Akiva. Amazing. The Oisyes Akiva, Ayesh, Koine, Oilomoy, B'sha Achas. Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, was able to see something, and he turned his life around, and he refocused, and he became the great person. And that's what we can do tonight. And you know something? We have to tell our children, and we have to tell ourselves that this is the time that we have to change more than ever. This Elul, we have come together at a very, very perilous time in Klal Yisrael. We have gone through the last few months, the loss of Gilad, Ayal, and Naftali, the loss of many, many precious soldiers. We have found out more than ever before, in the last 50 years for sure, the open anti-Semitism of the whole world against us. Who ever heard that in Argentina or in France or in Belgium or in England, you should be afraid to come out of a shul Shabbos unless you have the police there, because otherwise the people are afraid to come out of the shul. Who knows what the goyim will do to them? All this latent anti-Semitism came out. We've gone through terrible, terrible pain and worry and sorrow. And you know what the Rambam says? The Rambam has something frightening that he tells us in Hilchos Tanya's. He says, if a Yid goes through tsar, you feel a pain for whatever reason, we have to think, why did it happen? And we must change. And he says, if a person goes through a difficulty and doesn't change, that's cruelty. That's achzorias. You know why it's achzorias, he says? Because if you don't change, it's just going to continue. The pain is going to continue. The heartache will continue. And we all felt heartache. We all felt terrible these last few months. And we don't want it to happen again in the next year. And so therefore, every one of us must think, how are we going to get closer to Hashem? How can we make it so that Hashem should feel we are truly His people and He doesn't want to hurt us in any which way? How are we going to do that? And you know what I heard once? Something from the Chidob, which is amazing. We all know that Elul stands for Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li, but you know what else it stands for? Echad L'Chatos V'Echad L'Oila. That's what the Chidob says. There are some people that look at the past year and they think, you know, maybe I didn't really daven the way I was supposed to. Maybe I didn't learn the way I was supposed to. Maybe I didn't do Chesed. So last year may have been some Chatos. So I've got to improve. But there's some people who could look at the past year and say, you know, I learned my daf every day. I went to shul every day. I did chesed every day. I did favors to people. I had a year of aliyah, oila. But still, every Elul is a time of change. Whether you are Echad L'Chatos or Echad L'Oila, you have to get higher and higher and higher. And that's what we're going to talk about. How are we going to change? What can we learn from the previous year? Or what can we learn from what's important in life to make a difference? And I want to share something with you. I have a sister in Ashdod. And she told me how many times she had to run with her children and grandchildren to shelters. How frightening it was every single time. Now we know, of course, they had the Kippurat HaBarzel, the Iron Dome. And Baruch Hashem, that was miraculous. And I believe that in 6 months, there will be so many books that will come out with the unbelievable miracles that went on in this Gaza war. When you think about it, logically and statistically, it doesn't make sense. How could it possibly be that thousands and thousands of rockets fell? And not one exploded in a shul, not one exploded in an apartment building, not one killed a whole bus terminal. How could that be? It was only Nisim. It was no question Nisim, but it still was frightening every single time. And my sister told me the most incredible thing. And you will, only a Yiddish mother could say what I'm about to tell you. Listen to this, it's not to be believed. She told me that somebody went to be Menachem Mavel, Mrs. Frankel. Mrs. Frankel is an American woman, a very eloquent woman. All of you, if you can, try tonight before you go to sleep, see her message to all of Klal Yisrael for Rosh Hashanah. It's on age.com. I saw it this morning, I was crying. What this woman said to everyone, just absolutely incredible. But anyway, they went to her to be Menachem Mavel. And listen to what she said. She said that at the end, when she found out what happened with her son, she said, for 18 days I cried. 18 days I cried, I didn't know if my son was alive. And finally, at the end, when I found out that he was killed the first day, I had a partial nechama. I had a partial consolation. And people said to her, what do you mean? How did you, what kind of consolation? She said, I knew my Naftali, he loved doing mitzvahs. And the mitzvah that he loved more than anything else was his tefillin. And I knew that there's no way that they are going to let him wear tefillin. Those Arabs would not let him wear tefillin. And when I found out that he was killed the first day, I said, Hashem, at least my son, he didn't go one day without wearing his tefillin. Could you imagine that a Yiddish mother should say something like that? She just lost her precious child, and that's how she has a partial nechama. That her son didn't go one day without tefillin. And I think when we hear this in Elul, every single one of us must make a commitment, especially the men. I'm going to tell something now to the men. The women will not believe what I'm saying, but the women will be able to learn from this as well. Do you know that there are men in shul, while they're wearing tefillin, they're doing texting and emails? It's a disgrace. None of the women can believe that. But all of us in shul know that as soon as a guy finishes Shemoneh Esrei, he's waiting until Chazar Shachat, maybe he's going to get something from Staples. Right? Or maybe he'll get something from the NFL, you know, to buy a giant jersey. It has become insane. We've lost ourselves when it comes to texting and emails. So I had a sticker made up. And this is for men and women. Every one of you tonight will be able to go home with this. Put it in your sitter. Put it on your stender. Put it on your refrigerator. It's a little label sticking out. It says, disconnect to reconnect. Here, get a close picture of it. Disconnect to reconnect. Every one of you will get it. From now on, when you walk into shul, unless you're a doctor, unless you're an atzala, or your wife's expecting any minute, you have no reason to have that cell phone on. And women as well. We have to disconnect to reconnect. We have to disconnect from the technology. And I listen, I hope you don't mind. It's a Nusach Sfard Siddur, but I guarantee you it works for Ashkenaz as well. You know, don't worry about it. And that's the least that we can do for Naftali. Lezecha Nishmosai. Now, I'm going to tell you again another thing. I didn't think of this. I don't want to take credit for it. There's a wonderful young Rebbe in Far Rockaway in Darkei Torah. His name is Rabbi Yaron Halbertal. And the fire of Torah burns in him. When I told him this thing, he said, Rabbi Krohn, write down the word Naftali. Write it down. You won't believe. Naftali is the Oisei's tefillin. Could you believe that? Could you believe that? Naftali is the Oisei's tefillin. You know what that means? That means that which the Gemara tells us, Shema Gorim, when you are given a name, your name defines your life. It influences your life. That's why we don't have anybody named Korach, and we don't have anybody named Esav. Even Yishmael, Chazal asked, how could you have somebody named Rabbi Yishmael? So they say because he did tshuva. But your name defines you. You think the Frankels, when they named him Naftali, they realized that the tefillin would be his main mitzvah? So I want to tell you something just a little bit light. Most of you maybe don't know, but my middle name is Yosef. My full name is Pesach Yosef. I was named after my mother's father, my grandfather. But you know what Chazal say, if you learn it in the Haggadah and everything, that Pesach is really a combination of two words. Pesach, a mouth that speaks. Yosef, a lot. That's why I don't stop. Now, I guarantee you that when my mother named me, she was not thinking I was going to be a speaker, right? She thought she's naming me after her father, right? Pesach Yosef. But your name defines you. And I think that tonight, one of the commitments we must make and tell our children as well, when you are davening, when you make a connection to Hashem, it's got to be directly to Hashem. Now, I want all of you to buy yourselves a present for Yontif. Some of you can buy clothes, you can buy jewelry, buy whatever you want. But before you give out your last pennies before Yontif, I want to give you an idea that's something that has helped me so much in the last few weeks. Except for the Maggid books, which I think are one of the best books that ArtScroll ever put out. A book came out 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe it's a month already, that is so phenomenal that will give each and every one of us tremendous chizuk. It's called Living Emunah. It's written by a young Sfardish fellow. His name is Rabbi David Asher. I didn't know who he was. I called him just to thank him. Now, there are in the book probably over 100 different entries. He's got about 132, 135 entries. I don't read the book straight. Every day I pick up 2 or 3 different entries, and it's fabulous. And every single one of you is going through such trauma, has gone through such difficulties. And everybody in Klal Yisrael goes through difficulties. Sometimes you walk around, you see somebody, you think, ah, they have everything. Nobody has everything. That's what Golus is. You think they have because you don't know what's going on in their lives. I'm telling you, pick up this book. Don't read it all in one shot. It's not good. It's like too much medicine at one time. Take 2 or 3 chapters, 2 or 3 entries every night. I'm telling you, it'll change you. It'll give you chizuk. And you know something? I know there are many nisyanes that divorced men and divorced women go through. And sometimes, in their exasperation, certain people will do things on Shabbos, which I don't even want to say in my mouth what they will do, because they're so lonely. Because I don't want to give anybody any ideas, but any of you will know what I'm talking about. Don't do it. Don't do it. I've heard of certain people, men, who text on Shabbos, Rachmana Litzlan, because they're so addicted to the texting. Do you know what the worst thing about texting on Shabbos is? Of course that it's also la halacha, that's not even the question. But your children, they know. And when you break down the barriers of connecting to Hashem on the holiest day of the week, those kids, they're going to break these barriers later. And there's nothing worse than having a kid at risk. This past Sunday night, I spoke for MASC. MASC is a wonderful organization that gives support to parents that have had kids at risk. I'm telling you, Benny knows that any time that I speak for an organization, I try to do a great deal of research about the organization. I spoke to many parents who were helped by MASC. You cannot believe, you should never know the pain of what it means that these parents have kids that are in rehab places in Arizona, in California, in South Carolina, working in malls with Israelis in South Carolina, away from the Hamish houses that they all grew up in. There's nothing worse. And many times, not all the time, but many times, when parents will take certain liberties, the children know, you can't fool them. And the children take these liberties. There's a lady who I know, a Chassidisha family. Chassidisha family, you would never, ever believe it. And she told me she has questions in Amuna. She doesn't do mitzvahs when nobody's looking. When the kids don't see, she doesn't make brachas. And now she writes me an email. Her kid is at risk. Of course her kid is at risk. You think the kids don't know what the parents do? Disconnect to reconnect. Technology is not the answer. Watching the internet to 1 o'clock in the morning is not going to make you a happy person. You know what's going to make you a happy person? This book, Living Emunah. That's the gift you should